Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a good Friday, getaway Friday, Friday, March the 29th, 2024, 15 minutes past the hour. And as many of you know who've been tuning in all week, we've had a lot of callers this week in regard to things that happened at Monday night's Marathon City Council meeting, 3 hours and 25 minutes, and I certainly know the person. I was at that meeting, by the way, for all 3 hours and 25 minutes, and I know the person with me today, I don't think was very happy that it went 3 hours and 25 minutes on Monday. I think that frustration was well known, and we're so glad to welcome him back here, and we're just going to get right to it, because there's a lot to cover in the first hour this morning. Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Jason, so glad to have you back. How about the meeting on Monday?
3 hours and 25 minutes is a normal meeting nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's par for the course.
Why is that normal?
I do not know. So there's a lot of discussion around the same things repeatedly. We ask questions, we don't get answers, and then that's what drags our meetings on longer.
Just the perception of the people who were sitting behind me that day, who were some big movers and shakers in the Marion community.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in that row.
There was a lot of money in the row behind me. Yeah. There certainly was. Yes, there were questions that weren't getting answers, and that's happened before. That happened during Schertzer's administration.
Right.
But there does seem to be a problem, and I don't want to single anybody out, so I'm not going to, that people don't seem to know the rules of how to run a meeting yet, and we're into March now.
Right, and that goes to, we have, what is it, 4 or 5 new council members? So that's a majority of the council they're very new to this. They don't know the Roberts rules, and we have a new council president. I think Mary's doing a good job for being thrown to the fire like she has with a lot of the meetings we have are contentious and marathon meetings. And so some of the little things that we can clean up, learning Robert's rules, learning rules of council, and Mary's getting better each meeting. I've noticed that she's improved on moving the business of the city of the agenda along, and I think that'll, some of those gaps of dead air that we have sometimes will tighten up, and the meeting will lose some, the meetings will get shorter, but as long as we still have the content that we do, the meetings probably will stay lengthy.
And just to be fair, I'm not saying that it would completely eliminate 325, but I bet we could shave 45 minutes off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's, and again, it's new.
And it's not a disparaging comment against the new council members. Or
No.
Is this just, they got to get caught up to speed.
The way it is at this particular point. Now, a lot of stuff going on. Let's start with the auditor, because she was just on Tuesday, and that was a big focus of the meeting on Monday. Thoughts on the auditor?
I have a lot of thoughts. I'm not for sure where we go from here. At one point during the meeting, I mentioned I relived a little bit of trauma from when Robert Landon, time when we had a special committee to go out to investigate or to look into the IRS penalties that he created. And I think that's where we are now. I think that we need to create a new ad hoc committee to go to figure out where we're standing with the IRS penalties, with still with Robert's issues. Miranda's incurred some, and also there's some miscellaneous stuff that Miranda's incurred, like the credit card late fees. Why are we paying our credit cards late? And we're not supposed to be paying them late, first of all, and second, we're not supposed to be paying any kind of late fees or interest. Well, not interest, but late fees. So I believe if we get an ad hoc committee, pull these issues that are bogging down especially our finance committee, because the first eight or nine things we deal with are things that we've been dealing with for 2 years, two, 3 years. So if we pull that away, then finance committee can focus on the finance committee stuff, and this other committee can focus on getting things caught up, figured out where we stand, whether IRS penalties are appealed, whether they've been abated, whether a credit from an abatement went to another penalty. And we got to narrow that down. We got to figure that out. And hopefully, and I haven't reached out to any council members. I reached out to one council member last night about my idea about finance committee or a special ad hoc committee. So we'll see how that goes. The next council meeting, I plan on bringing that up.
Now, just my perception, it seemed to go off the tracks Monday right at the beginning because Ms. Lang, Twyla Lang, who does seem to be working very hard to try to figure out something in regard to the budget and the finances of the city, she made several suggestions Monday, which I think you were in favor of her making the suggestions at least, to get the budget passed, past 25%. But because a lot of things on the agenda had to do with payments, nobody really knew how to handle those because the budget had been changed right at the top.
Right. So if you go back 2 weeks prior to that meeting, we changed the budget again from a 25% or a first quarter budget to a 6 month budget or 50% budget, and those ordinance that was below that agenda item may not have even been needed a month ago. So we let that sit to see if we get the numbers caught up to see how the 50% will release the 50% budget if it took care of those requests. Well, the auditor went on vacation and those numbers never got taken care of or figured out. So then we end up this past Monday trying to figure out on the fly, on top of the fact that we decided to pass the full budget and not do any more of the 50% stuff and then reduce some line items. So hindsight, I think we should have, because there was thoughts of doing what we did Monday with the whole budget and taking some line items out, thoughts of doing that a month ago, and we should have done it then, and that would have saved us some time this past Monday, but hindsight's always 20/20. So it did cause some confusion, but there was also a lack of someone doing their part, and it created more confusion.
Now, I just want to touch on this, and then I want to go to something else with the auditor. Ray Grogan was on this program, and I believe it's the first time he had talked about this, that the auditor is under investigation. I believe he was on 2 weeks ago, and he said during that interview, he can't talk about it, obviously, because she is under investigation. She's aware of this. She was in here on Tuesday. And we would know something within 30 days. I think we're probably at about 15 days now of that 30. Now, what do you think is going to happen there? Now, because I posed the question that people on city council believe that you're not going to do anything, and he said, if there's a crime there, I'd indict my mother.
Right, and that's probably what he should say. But I think that the 30 days will pass. We won't hear anything.
Because
I don't know why. I think maybe that 30 days people will forget. We don't have any media other than yourself.
Yeah, we're here.
And so
we'll ask him. If 30 days pass, we'll get him back on.
Okay, well, yeah. Great. But if we go back to that ad hoc committee I want to create, that's one of the issues I want to have that committee focus on is following that through, staying on top of that. Plus, on the other side of that, if we need to have that committee develop a way to either remove Miranda or get her help so that she can be successful.
This was a conversation all week this week, and this is what I really wanted to get to because, you know, we can go by what we think she's done wrong, what she has done wrong, where it's going to go, and I think we're just going in a circle with that at this point. But at this point, if the city's losing money with fines and things of this nature, if we believe that she really doesn't know the job, she's not going to resign. Clearly, it's very hard to remove an elected official. Nobody ran against her in the fall. Here we are. Why not just realize we're chasing our tail? Every Monday we're going to berate her in a meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't we just skip all that? Find somebody who, hey, they don't have to be elected. We can get them from anybody. We can fly them in from another state. Just to stop this hemorrhaging for 6 months, get this thing fixed, and then just hope she can be given a ball with no errors. We've got a budget person in there now making a good amount of money, and forget this.
Yeah, and I've been saying this for a while now, and I've been looking for someone retired from the state auditor's office, and I reached out to Kathy Chaffetz. She's a former, the previous deputy auditor, to see if she would come in as a consultant type thing, a consultant type contract, and I've not got really any traction from other council members. So, and I'll go back to this ad hoc committee I want to create. If that's one of the tasks that we're tasked with, and we have to do something, because you're right, we can't continue to beat up on a person. We realize the problem, but we're doing nothing about it other than picking on someone.
Because I think a lot of people are starting to, and I'm not saying it's not warranted, but I think a lot of people are starting to see that as theater now. If you it a couple times, we get that you don't agree with her. We get you think she doesn't know the job.
Right.
But now we've been doing this for 6 months.
Right.
And what's getting done?
Yep. And all I want to do is fix the problem and move on. I don't like the long meetings of just nitpicking and mean-girling towards other people. It just, we know what the problem is. What's the solution and how do we get there?
And I think at this point, a lot of people were under the impression late last year when the budget position became a thing that Mayor Collins was suggesting would happen, and now that it has happened, that this person was going to be somebody who could come in and sort some of these problems out.
That, so the budget position that Collins created, I believe the idea or the spirit behind that position is to help the administration and council understand what the budget is.
On that point, an issue came up on Monday of how is this person being paid, because we have not allocated the money to pay her. Now, it seemed funny at the time. I think people even giggled a little bit when somebody stood up, I believe it was Sulu, stood up at one point in the audience and said, yes, shouldn't the budget director know about the budget? Shouldn't she know where the money? And of course, she was on vacation. But that could have, that could have been pre-planned. She might have said that before she ever took the job. But, I mean, shouldn't she? If we feel we can't, she knows where she's getting paid from, I would imagine.
So if her job is to help the administration and council understand the budget, who is responsible for creating the budget?
Definitely the city council creates, but the
city council does not. So we kind of overstepped our bounds when we've been doing what we've been doing.
But this time.
So the way I believe it should happen is the administration creates from their department heads what these department needs. Because you don't want nine individuals going to each department head trying to figure out what they want and council to do it. So the administration is supposed to create what their yearly expenses are for their budget, present to council. Council's only role in the budget is to appropriate the funds. We control the purse.
So has Bill Collins' administration, service director, seems like who he's working very closely with, safety director, have they done that?
So I'm out of the loop because I'm no longer on the finance committee. So I believe Twyla has done most of the heavy lifting on getting this budget across the finish line thus far. But I can't really speak to all the players. I just know that Twyla's done a lot of heavy lifting, and she's done more than what a council person is required to do.
But wouldn't an administration, and again, just the head of the administration would be the mayor, just like the head of the auditor's office would be the auditor, isn't a even though you have to appropriate the money, isn't a budget presented to you usually?
Yes.
Has that happened?
Yes.
So there is a budget.
So what budget So we use the term budget, but what council approves is an annual appropriation and expense ordinance. That was presented to us back before Thanksgiving of last year, and that's not changed. So when Collins administration came in, in what we passed Monday night, minus the capital improvements, capital equipment, and 25% reduction on supplies, those are the same numbers we got back in November, or 1st of December.
So the changes are things city council wants to do.
Right.
Okay. Which within your right, you can.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's within the mayor's right, too. He can line item veto. So if we increased an amount, or even the capital equipment and capital improvement line items or the supplies, Collins could have line item vetoed that.
So I guess when we come back to this particular point of how this woman's being paid, because this was another point
right.
to go after the auditor Monday night.
Right.
Shouldn't she know, the budget person, where the money's coming from that pays her? And not that the auditor shouldn't.
So if you're in a position to oversee and manage the budget, I guess is probably her main function, she wouldn't be responsible because she has no authority to appropriate funds. Council appropriates dollars, and council only created the position. We didn't appropriate the salary. We named the salary. We stated the salary in the job description, what it would be, but there was never an appropriation, which comes from the auditor's office, to appropriate that salary in whatever line item. I would believe that that position would have its own line item, just like City Hall service director and safety director.
And just trying to figure this out, not trying to defend the auditor's office here, but the city council knew that the position was created. And it sounded like city council knew that somebody had been hired, because I think Ayers Ratliff said on Monday that he's not even met this person, so he must be aware that she's working there.
Right.
So how, aside from the fact that the auditor should know, I would imagine you guys didn't think she was working for free while she's up there, even though we don't know how she's getting paid.
Right.
Right.
So If your question is saying that council has some fault in not appropriating the funds for this position,
just knowing that the position was created, you
right.
knew that, you knew the person was hired, knew
right.
the person was in the position.
So if you go back to the expense ordinance or the budget that had never been changed, and that budget that was given to us in last year did not have those positions added into it. So that goes back to the administration and the auditor's office to add those numbers in. And then if it was added into that budget, then it would have been appropriated.
And again, not to alleviate the auditor here, I just think if we continue to do the auditor thing, we've done that.
Right.
Right. But now the administration, that's a whole different story, because there were many conversations prior to the election that both of the candidates running for mayor had no legislative experience in city government.
Mm-hmm.
First time this had happened in at least half a century, that nobody had graduated from city council to the mayor's position. Now, it seemed to be at that time, and maybe it was just perception, that if Glenn had won, that would have been a bigger problem than if Bill had won, because even though Bill didn't have legislative experience, he had been the chief of police, he had been the deputy sheriff, it's starting to seem like a big problem that legislative experience is not there, or do we chalk it up to something else?
I would, yeah. So the inexperience does show. In roles of government, sometimes lines are crossed. Like, council is the legislative authority. The mayor is the executive branch. They execute what council passes. It's the same with the auditor. So whatever council passes, it's their function to carry it out.
Let's get to a point that Mr. Ratliff has been bringing up, in particular, Second Ward City Councilman, for many weeks. And every time he does, every time I've seen him do this, it comes up, and then it goes away. But in general, I think people have an issue with this can-do and Mr. Bodine.
Okay.
That, and it's my understanding, and if I'm wrong about any of this, let me know, that Mr. Bodine entered into an agreement with can-do in 2023 to get about $40,000 in that neighborhood is his payday with can-do, I think. Mm-hmm. Is what my understanding.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yep. So then the he was Collins, Mayor Collins, wanted him for a position that he was going to create. That went away, and he just hired him as a service director. So Mr. Ratliff brings
that position didn't go away. So the
crazy, it didn't go away.
No. So this is it's still really floating around. Strange. So it's not floating around. It's passed.
Oh, so they did. Now see,
this is the craziest situation. So we have this position. It goes through all these readings. Everyone gets really upset because Ayers didn't vote to suspend it, and then they found out that he's the minority. He's protected if he doesn't vote to suspend the rules. We got past that meeting. We got to the next meeting. Collins stands up and decides.
I was there for that one. Yep.
He says, I don't need this. Don't want it.
Vote no.
Vote no.
Yep.
But we didn't that night. That went as a second reading. To come to the third reading, we pass it.
See, I had an inkling that was going to happen because the morning after that meeting, and I was at that meeting, Mr. Pollack was on.
And he said. Yeah, and I listened to that. Thought,
yes.
What does he know that we don't
want? I knew.
Because when the man stands up and says, I don't want it.
Right. I posed that to him. I said, so that's pretty much. And he said, no.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that doesn't sound very good.
He has a better handle on that position than what any of us did.
So that's positions there. So we're going to fill this as well at some point?
Okay, so this goes back to the Office of Budget and Management. We created a job. We didn't appropriate any funds for it.
But now we don't have somebody, you know, set out for that position because that was supposed to be Mr. Bodine, I thought.
Correct.
Are we going to give him a third job?
I don't know. So, or another title. I don't know. But there. So in practice or in theory, that position is there. That position can be filled. But there's no funding. There's no. We didn't appropriate the salary for that position.
You know, not to impugn anybody here, but if I am a Marion resident, and again, I don't live in the city, so I don't vote on any of this, but what that sounds like to me now in hindsight is, because clearly Bill wanted that position,
mm-hmm.
And I was also there the week he and Ayers got into it about why are you postponing this? I need to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, he comes back the next week and says, don't want it. And then council passes it anyway. Now, that sounds like that might have been a little bit of a show when he said, I don't want it. I can't say that. Why would
there is a lot of theater at city council.
Apparently. So, I mean, what does that sound like to you? It's very confusing.
It's confusing. It was strange the way it all went down. And then like you said, Pollack forecasted it or
the next day.
Yeah.
Next morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it did. And it happened. Continuing to go down the list of things here.
The can-do thing. So, and I know Ayers, every time he brings this up, he asks, why isn't anyone else saying anything?
Nobody else says anything,
yeah,
right.
But it's always the same two people that say stuff. So I haven't been saying – that's my major hang-up for can-do is the conflict between Bodine and can-do.
So you don't like it either?
I don't like it. And after Ayers said that no one cares or no one's as outraged as he is, so I went to the Ohio Ethics Commission and I did some digging, and I actually went as far as to see how to get an opinion. But the first step is to look at previous opinions that the Board of Ethics has given. And I found one that matches almost identical. It's a service director that has a consultant business that wants to do work on the side.
So the opinion is?
So the opinion is, as I read it, it's not prohibited.
Okay.
But if there's the appearance of a conflict of interest, or if the influence of the position could lead to his side job getting business, then it is prohibited.
Well, we're going to roll down that here in a second, because this was something else that I found odd, because it did come up again Monday, that everything we're talking mm-hmm. about can do, and Mr. Bodine spoke and said, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and that's when I do a lot of my work before I come in here, and it's a separate hard drive, and you'll find nothing on the city computers about can-do and so on and so forth. But then somebody pointed out that he's a salaried position. So it's my understanding that when you're under salary, it's not a 9-to-5 thing anyway.
Right, and salary doesn't mean that someone owns you either.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it's great that they're taking that step to separate his side business versus his safety director or service director responsibilities. But it goes beyond that to his relationship and his influence that he has.
And to that influence, let's slide down to some invoices that I got. I don't know if you've seen them yet. I imagine some people have seen them. Let's start with the easy one here. Let's start with Schertzer Park, because when Mayor Schertzer did his first interview since being out of office, I was able to ask him about this. And if you're not up to speed on this, I'm going to close this up really quick because we've got a lot to talk about here. But essentially last year, the Parks Department late last year said we're going to name the park Founders Park in Mayor Schertzer's name, because he tied Jack Kellogg for 16 years, longest serving mayor in Marion. New sign was ordered. It was done. And then all of a sudden in late January, sign disappears. New sign comes, Founders Park, it's back to that. Reasons given were this is an administrative park, one of two in the city. The Parks Department didn't have the right to change that. And then there was a reason given, apparently to Mayor Schertzer, that Google Maps, people were having trouble finding it because it said Founders Park.
Because of Google Maps?
Yes. Oh. When I asked Mayor Schertzer about both of these things, he said the entire time he was in office, the Parks Department took care of that park, and still do to this day. So that administrative park, he pretty much said that's a bunch of baloney, in his own words. And then he said, the Google Maps thing, he said, I pulled out my phone the moment they told me that. I Google mapped it. It says Schertzer Park. And to this day, it still says Schertzer Park on Google Maps. Mm-hmm. So whoever told him that was not being exactly on the level. And on that note, Schertzer called it petty and political. He said that's all it was. It had nothing to do with anything else. It's not administrative park nonsense. It's not anything else to do with Google Maps. It's petty and political. He doesn't take it personally, but it's petty and political. And on that note, through an invoice that I received, and I don't believe Founders Park had a sign before. If they did, I don't know where it was. But the new Founders Park sign, to order it and put it up, cost $1,134.75 to install it. So just for petty and political purposes, or is Mayor Schertzer wrong on this one?
There's a lot to unpack with that park. So the invoice, let's start there.
That invoice is an interesting one.
Right. So for those that don't know, the city garage has a sign shop, and we make signs. So why did we go outside to an outside vendor that may or may not have a connection to our service director? If I was a union member in the sign shop, I probably would have filed a grievance immediately.
Now, the car wrap factory is who's doing all this work. And there's a lot more work here. We'll get to the other work
that's going on.
Now, why are we led to believe that Mr. Bodine has a connection to the car wrap factory?
So back to when the council was discussing creating the special playground and projects position, whatever that was called, that Mr. Ratliff asked Bodine a series of questions, and the car wrap factory, I believe, came up. Yes, it did. It did come up, but I believe it was during that series of questions between Bodine and Ratliff, and Bodine said publicly, and it's in the minutes, that he does receive a financial incentive for work that he sends to the car wrap factory because he does the designs for him.
Problem.
It is if he received that same financial incentive for the sign at Founders Park, for the car wraps that he's doing in his office, or potentially doing for non-emergency vehicles.
And just to point this out, because we are getting this from, this is live show. It looks as if Mayor Collins, Judge Ballinger, Stoneburner, President of City Council, Barr, Twyla Lang, Prater, Thaddeus Smith, that Bodine worked on all their campaigns. Now, I don't know that particular thing is an issue because he was not in a position at that point, Bodine.
Right, yeah, that's his business. So that's his business, is the graphics and stuff. So I wouldn't fault him for working on anyone's campaign.
But apparently currently working on Todd Anderson's campaign while he is the service director. And because he's not the safety director, right?
He's the service director.
So, yeah. Correct. So this person says he's a walking conflict.
I've not dug into if there is a conflict being a service director and working on a campaign. Again, he has to demonstrate a clear separation of City Hall time versus his design time and when he's on a campaign.
Let's run down this invoice. Because the invoice, did we get to the idea, though, was Schertzer Park lost due to political petty reasons, as the former mayor said?
I don't know. It appears to be political, but at Schertzer's retirement party, when it was unveiled by Kathy that it was going to be named Schertzer Park, I jokingly told him at his thing, I said, I don't want to be that guy, but you do know that Busby and Founders Park is not a part of the Parks Commission under their umbrella. And it's for whatever reason, I don't remember why we didn't put those under the umbrella of the Parks Commission. So I just jokingly said that. I said it'll probably get changed, and sure enough, it did. But should it have been? If council was really upset, all council has to do is change name, pass an ordinance or resolution, and we can put it to whatever name we want.
Do you think, and we can't predict the future, let's say that happened, do you think this council in any way would ever approve that?
No.
There you go.
No.
Now, and just to be clear, not to point the finger at anybody here, but just so people are getting an education in city politics, which you certainly can at this point, okay, it's administrative park. Who can change the name? Who put that order in to do it? Not council didn't do it, and no. The Parks Department didn't do it.
So you have to go back to figure out at what change are we talking about.
The Parks Department made the change to Schertzer Park.
Right, and that was – so at the Parks Commission is not the Parks Department. So
Parks Board.
The Parks Board, yeah. So Kathy went to the Parks Board and asked them to change Founders to Schertzer Park, which is not under their authority. So was that change, in my opinion, was done in error. It should have came to council. Right. We would have done a resolution to change the name to whatever, and then that would have had a little bit more grip instead of going to someone that doesn't have the authority to change it. So
it was done wrong, but we know who did it. It was the Parks Board.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the changing of it back, who did that?
So, and I don't know fact. I spoke with Mr. Bodine about this, and I believe it came to his attention at a downtown board meeting of the change, the discussion that he received was that people relate that park more as Founders Park and can identify easier and quicker as Founders than as Schertzer. So he felt that he's doing a service to downtown board by not changing it back, because I believe it was done in error the first time, returning it officially back to Founders Park, or keeping it as Founders Park, I should say.
A conversation like that would have no meeting minutes, so we really can't check up on that.
So I went to the downtown board meetings. They may keep minutes.
And if they do, hopefully we'll see them at some point.
Right, yeah.
Because I think if that's true, well, then let's say that, because that looks a little better than what we've got now.
Right, yeah.
Because the question is, do you believe that happened? Because the former mayor Schertzer clearly does not believe that's what happened.
At this point, what Mr. Bodine shared with me in the meeting he was in, I have no reason to believe that he was lying to me.
Okay, let's get back to this invoice. Okay, to the car wrap factory. And these are just a few things on it. But love our city. We're redoing the walls in offices at City Hall. We're getting decals for cars. Quite a bit of money there. And Mr. Bodine's office, and I'm not sure why it's the most expensive office redo, but $4,250. And this is not approved by council. This is money that comes out that I think the mayor can approve this. I don't think...
So, we're trying to figure out what line items... So if you have a dollar amount in a line item and it's your department, you can spend that amount on whatever fits that
right.
line item.
Not that it's illegal.
Right. So if they had enough in that line item and they want to use – so I believe it may have been in a capital line item, or it should have been, and that's one of the reasons – it's probably one of the driving reasons so that we can – why we remove capital equipment and capital improvements, so that we can see, or at least have people come to us and ask, explain to us what they want to spend, and we probably would have caught that earlier. But I believe that since we're having an issue trying to find what line items these expenses came from,
we don't know yet.
I do not know yet. Somebody should, but I look at the line items that should have. That these should have came out of, and there's funds encumbered, and the balance is a negative number.
Decals, $15,300.
Now, that's a lot of money.
Are you going to have some decals on your car?
No.
I'm not trying to be facetious about this whole thing. I just don't understand that. Where are that like police cars, fire engines?
I could be completely wrong, but I believe. The city has really no say in the color or the decals that are on a police vehicle. They come from the manufacturer that way. And because I remember previous years that when we're buying, especially cruisers, the chief would say, well, we're going to black and white. I don't believe any of these decals will be going on emergency vehicles. I believe if they go on a vehicle, they'll be the pickup trucks for different departments and maybe the side of Packer trucks.
You're going to have 85 of them for $15,000. So there you go. And the other question is, and again, not trying to be facetious here, but of all the mayors who I've known, Mayor Kellogg, Mayor Schertzer, and Mayor Collins, meetings that have happened in their office as opposed to things going on in City Hall are usually rare. So, I mean, I normally would not go to their office to have a meeting. You would see them in city council. So, to redo the walls in people's offices with Love Our City, which I assume that's what this is all about, how many people actually go into these offices and see these walls?
I couldn't give you a count. I know I'm in there a lot.
You'll see them. You'll see the work.
And so the Love Your City is a brand that Collins wants to bring to the city. And there's a little bit of issue with that. I think they have it cleared up because that's a trademark slogan.
Oh.
So and that's a I think we have that cleared up.
Now just. To keep on going down the list here. Now, this is something that caught my eye in an odd way. Because when we run down this, we go through the decals, you know, that's $15,000. Mayor's conference room, that's $1,400. That's wallpapering. Engineering office circle logo, $425. Okay, mayor room wall wrap, $770. But then we get down to the service director, and $4,250 for what it looks walls. Two walls, four walls, designed by RNDR.
Okay.
So, what is RNDR for people who might not know?
I believe that's the design or graphic design business that Mr. Bodine owns.
And just an odd thing.
Now, I've not seen that, and I don't want to derail your.
No, it's there. I can send it to you.
I've not seen that. So it says designed by RDNR. Does it give a dollar amount for the design?
It's just under that place on the invoice. But first thing under it says design provided by RNDR, but it doesn't say that under any of these other things, and I would bet it's the same logo.
Probably.
Okay. So, the other odd thing about that particular line on this invoice, and this is just a public request that came from a city invoice, came from the auditor's office, excuse me. When they go through everything else, they refer to the mayor, not by name. It's not Mayor Collins. But on that particular line, it says Mike's office. Now, just going, you know, now I'm not trying to be Perry Mason here, but going down a professional invoice that's going to the city of Marion, I would think you would put service director's office, Mike Bodine's office. It looks very casual on that particular line.
Right. I do believe that came from the car wrap factory.
Yep. It just says Mike's official wall.
So there is a business relationship between Mr. Bodine and the car wrap factory. So that the casual use of his first name would be appropriate, not appropriate in that
they know
their
him.
Relationship.
They know him. They know him.
Right.
You haven't seen this. Now that you're kind of seeing it, but we're not telling you anything that's false.
Right.
What do you make of this?
That goes back to the Ethics Commission opinion that the influence of your office cannot reach across to your side business. And I think that may demonstrate it right there.
And there you go. And by the way, just the total of this bill is $23,709.10, half of which has been paid.
Yeah, I see that it says half, and sometimes they write the line item or the account that it's paid out of, and I don't see that on there.
No, and I think there has been question of that.
And then that's what I'm trying to figure out, what line item or what. And I believe that it's just a dollar amount that has been encumbered and not officially put on the books.
$11,854.55 has been paid.
Yes.
Without knowing, why would that be so hard to find? Because it apparently is for people.
I could go down a rabbit hole as to why, but it should be easy to find out what line item it was paid out of.
This was received, it is stamped on here, January 29th by the Safety Service Department. So, just asking Mr. Bodine, where did the money come from?
Yeah.
Now, do you think maybe this, and again, not to alleviate from the auditor's situation, that these questions might need to be asked at some point?
Yes, and those questions may have been asked to seek an answer Monday night, but that would have prolonged our meeting.
Might have been there till midnight on Monday.
Yes.
Because I think
this I've sat in midnight long meetings before.
Well, this might be a long conversation, I would think.
Right.
Because the last time Mr. Bodine was asked anything, got a little combative.
Yeah, and I believe he regrets how he acted publicly. But I've had the same interaction with him in his office. Because he wants to add cameras to council meetings, which I want the video as well, but he wants three cameras and he wants to control the angles. and that no, we're not doing that.
Do we know why?
No. I don't have a good explanation why the administration is pushing. And the cameras aren't in. Maybe they, after our conversation, they decided that if council wants it, council will bring in the cameras ourselves. So hopefully that's the case, but I have no idea why the administration was wanting to videotape council meetings.
And interestingly enough, by the way, if Mr. Bodine ever wants to come on, he's got an open invitation. And honestly, I don't believe I've ever had a conversation with Mr. Bodine. So this is not to say anything negative of him. This is just what the record shows at this particular point. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if, and again, there's a lot going on in the city right now. The auditor thing seems to be overshadowing some of these things. Or maybe these are just new things that are popping up.
It could be, and so to defend the auditor a little bit, maybe these I call them stickers, decals, or whatever they are. Maybe that was done on a credit card, maybe they're holding these back, and the auditor's not seeing them. But I believe the auditor ultimately gets the bill anyways, so.
Well, and it's
that
also
may not be a good defense, but
I talked to the auditor on Tuesday, as you know, and we got off in that a little bit, and just to the degree that there apparently, and somebody can look in this as well, there were things redacted off the last credit card bill that I think some people had questions about. Why was this redacted? And I think the auditor's looking into that currently. And there, by the way, we did.
So I heard that on the redaction. Yeah. What was redacted? Because I don't see the credit card reports anymore.
Just names and things that people are. I'm curious, and I think citizens are curious. And I think there are people at City Hall who are curious as to why certain things were redacted, because normally it's just information that would put information out that would harm some, like the city card numbers, so on and so forth.
Right.
There were other things redacted.
Yeah. So if it's a credit card report, there's nothing on that credit card report that should be redacted, because you get a credit card statement like the city does.
Right.
Your account number's not on there.
No. And that was a little confusing because
in the address, who cares about the city's address?
Yeah, so, we know where that is.
And if you're redacting things purchased?
Apparently, according to Miranda, redactions happen all the time. Martin goes through and redacts things. But apparently there were, on this last credit card statement, things that were redacted that not just the auditor, but other people had questions about.
Anytime a document has redaction, you have to state the reason why.
And I don't think in this instance that's been done.
A lot of things that come out redacted are not accompanied with the reason why.
And not to put you on the spot here, but people have had questions, and you can say or say what you want about this. The mayor has not been there for two council meetings. I would just put, do we know why?
So Monday night, Collins was not at the meeting, and we did not know why that night. The next day, the rumors started going around that he was ill. And there was a Republican Club meeting, and I didn't go to that. Be very clear that I did not go to that. But I heard that there was this brief comment because Collins was supposed to speak at the Republican Club. Hmm. And they said that he was ill, will not be speaking, and he was in the hospital.
Now,
That's secondhand information, but that's all I know.
And if it's true, we hope he's well.
Yeah, I hope he's well. Absolutely. I hope he's fine. And I do believe that he came in the City Hall Wednesday or Thursday. He may have been in both days. And he signed some ordinances that needed to be signed timely. And but there's a process in place, or not a process, but there's the ORC that states that if the mayor is outside the city limits or unavailable due to sickness, absence, vacation, whatever, that power is transferred automatically to council president.
So
if he is on vacation, if he was sick and in the hospital, I hope he gets well.
Absolutely.
But we have Mary that can step in and sign these things, so there's no reason for the mayor to worry about anything other than getting healthy to come back to work.
So basically, if you're the mayor, and certainly, again, we want him to be well, but if he indeed was sick, that should have been known.
I believe so, yes. Okay. Yeah, yes. A notification to Mary, say, hey, this is what's going on. You're the acting mayor. That's how the power transfers. And as soon as he's back, he's mayor again.
So all of this that we've just went through in the last hour, aside from the auditor, because I think I know where we stand on that. You've said what you would like to see happen there. What about all this car wrapping, decals, companies producing the logo, working on political campaigns that are currently going on, money coming from line items that we don't know where they're coming from yet, redactions on credit card bills, $4,200 to somebody's office, Mike's office, we do know that, and not even sure what his position is in the car rep factory that's going to receive this $23,000 payment, maybe, at this point, because city council has changed some rules when it comes to some things. Mm-hmm. What's the final analysis of all that?
A lot more questions.
Without knowing the answers, what do you chalk that up to? Because that's not city council, that's not the auditor. It doesn't seem to be.
I don't think it's any. I think that Collins and Bodine and the administration came in with good intentions, and it goes back to their lack of legislative experience and knowing what they need to do. They have good intentions. Maybe they're just going about it the wrong way.
Just in the final analysis, in the final 60 seconds here, and again, I don't think anybody's saying they have a nefarious, this is nefarious, but I think the question is, in a city with no bond rating, in a city where a council member, Twyla Lang, I think said the city doesn't have the money to pay things, and then that was followed up at one point by, we don't know what we have the money to pay because we don't have accurate numbers coming from the auditor's office. Four more fines came to public knowledge on Monday through the clerk. Is this a time to be spending $23,000 on decals and wallpaper?
When you put it that way, a fool would say, yeah, we should be buying more wallpaper. But I believe that we have better things to dig into other than wallpaper. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I understand that. Jason Schauber, 3rd Ward City Councilman. Have a happy Easter.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Family friend's 15-year-old daughter to babysit his children at his home in Marion while he frequented bars late into the night. On two occasions, he returned home and preyed upon the babysitter. Eventually,